You like that? You like that?
No, don't like that.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 22. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. You know the drill. Before we get into the playoffs, we got to do the housekeeping. So go follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Go follow the blog at GothamSN. Folks, please subscribe. Helps the channel grow. Helps you guys get notified the second a new episode goes live on iTunes. The link will be on Twitter. I will post the link in my description. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating review. Shout out if you're not from New York. We got a lot of international listeners. We got some listeners out in California, out in Texas. So if you're in enemy territory, give us a shout out on Twitter or in a 5-star review on iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, that is perfectly fine. I'll tell you why. Because we are on Audio Boom. So if you don't have an iPhone, we're on Google Play and Audio Boom. Go enter your email in the Audio Boom website. You'll get a notification the second an episode goes live. If you're an Android user, same thing with Google Play. Go ahead and subscribe over there. Always make sure to like, rate, review, retweet the episode. Help us grow. That's all the housekeeping for this week. Weiss, playoffs, we're feeling good. We got a little Miami drama, but we're going to start week 17. Ye of little faith. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Mr. Weiss over here picking the Redskins to beat the Giants last week. And you know what? That's what I'm going to open with. I'll give you the floor because you are a non-believer, sir.
Right off the bat, just wow. That was my initial reaction when I saw Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie pick off Kirk Cousins. Just an unbelievable performance by the Giants defense in a game that literally meant nothing to them and everything to the Redskins. You know, every week I come on here and we praise the defense, but I can tell you that I was so shocked at their performance. Just an unbelievable game. It was football, man. They could have easily just laid down and taken their starters out of the game and, you know, just played backups and let, you know, Washington go up and down the floor and score points and, you know, gain the momentum. But they went in there, and right off the bat, they put their foot on the Redskins' neck, and they did not go get off. And it was just a great performance. And I was wrong. I thought that this game was just going to be Redskins again to the playoffs. And I was wrong, man. I was really, really wrong. With that said, don't let anyone fool you. What the Giants did was really, really, really impressive. This is the number 3 ranked offense. Only 2 offenses ranked ahead of them, New Orleans and Atlanta. It was a phenomenal performance by the defense. Offensively, yet again, we saw the same blueprint what we've been seeing the last couple weeks, where they are, you know, sticking to the run game, even when at times it might not work. They are running the football. We're seeing a heavy dose of Paul Perkins. The Giants finally had a 100-yard rusher when they gave the ball to Paul Perkins more than 20 times. So kudos to him for his first career 100-yard game. They got that big play, and usually we see that big play from Odell Beckham, but in this case it was Tavares King making the big play. And lo and behold, they eliminated the Redskins. I had a big smile on my face. I hope everyone had a happy new year. But just an amazing win, and I was wrong. Shame me all you want. I don't care. I'm happy. I'm happy to be wrong.
Good. And usually whenever I pick against the Giants, you know, we're always happy to be wrong. You touched on a lot of things that I want to touch on. Maybe a few more will come to mind as I rant, if you will. First off, we lost a lot of good ones in 2016, but 2017 started off on the right note by killing the Redskins' playoff chances. Not only that, but Kirk Cousins and number 24, whose name I'll try my best not to say, what a punk-ass bitch that number 24 is. And side note, by the way, a little sidebar, since I brought up Kirk Cousins, the Redskins GM and Dan Snyder have quite possibly one of the toughest decisions in all of football to make this offseason with Kirk Cousins. Because if you look at him the way that I look at Kirk Cousins and the way some other, I don't want to say scouts, but football experts, shout out to Sion Fahey, look at Kirk Cousins. You know, and I wrote about this, that Kirk Cousins is good enough to get you to the cusp, but I don't think he'll ever be good enough to take you over the hump. And to commit what people are speculating would be $25 million a year on someone like Kirk Cousins, that's a lot of money. And, you know, they could commit to that and hope that he takes the next step, or they could just wallow in mediocrity forever, or they could say, you know what, we're going to cut ties, we're going to let someone else pay him, and then, you know, they're kind of back to square one where they don't have a quarterback.
Can I say one thing about what you said about Kirk Cousins? You put up a good point. A lot of people in D.C. are asking the same thing. It is a big off season for the Redskins. They still don't know if they found their guy. But, yeah, you hit on it. There's a lot of questions right now with Kirk Cousins. There are people that say pay him his money. There are people that say don't pay him his money. There are even some people that are saying franchise him and hope that someone gives up a first-round pick for him. So you brought up a good point. There's a lot of question marks right now with the Redskins. They were coming into that Week 17 game against the Giants last week, and now it's all over the news right now here in D.C. It's a heavy debate. But go ahead.
Well, and you brought up a good point today on Twitter too, that Kirk Cousins was 2-4 since yelling "How you like me now?" at his GM.
Yeah, and the Packers were 6-0. Packers are 6-0 since that happened.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, anyway, back to the Giants Redskins. You know, the first thing you brought up was DRC. I wrote about this in the Big Blue Hangover this week. DRC's importance to this team should not go unwritten, unspoken, unheralded. The man, first of all, amazing game. I don't know, have the exact numbers. I believe he was thrown at 4 times, had 2 interceptions, was literally centimeters away from blocking an extra point, which could have changed the course of the game completely. But you have a guy like DRC, who allows Steve Spagnuolo to do so much with his personnel. He wants to blitz. He can leave his 3 cornerbacks on islands with the different receivers. DRC came into the season really having little experience in the slot, adjusted to Spagnuolo's system, and learned to play the slot. God forbid Eli Apple or Janoris Jenkins goes down. DRC can either move outside where he's most comfortable, or Trevin Wade can step in. So, you know, someone like DRC, his importance to the defense, unbelievable, shouldn't go unheralded. So shout out to DRC, and I really hope, and you know, you and I agree on this, and I said this before the season when Eli Apple was drafted, I pray that they keep him around, because like I said before, it gives Steve Spagnuolo a lot of versatility, and having just 3 basically shutdown corners, you know, maybe a stretch to call Eli Apple a shutdown corner, but he's played very well in his rookie season. It's invaluable to a team's defense, especially as one as good as the Giants.
If you look at the price tag of slot cornerbacks, right now it's a bargain what the Giants are paying DRC. Just take out the production right now. I mean, he's playing like a shutdown corner. He is a shutdown corner. So, you hit it right on the head.
Absolutely. All right. Top 3 offense was held to under 300 yards and 10 points. Definitely should give Giants fans, as you mentioned, a confidence boost going into Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers has been playing like a man possessed. Honestly, he didn't look too great to me in the Detroit game, but divisional game, things get a little wonky. They still ended up winning, so that's 6 in a row. So I don't want that to, like, you know, clout Giants fans' judgment going into that Giants-Packers game. He's still playing like a man possessed, but you should have confidence because the defense is playing so well, and they did it without some of their starters playing all their snaps. We'll get into that a little bit. Paul Perkins, first Giants 100-yard rusher. He's going to be crucial in the Packers game. We'll get into that more later. One thing that you didn't bring up yet, but I do want to talk about, Devin Kennard. Now, this is something that, you know, I sort of started to realize where it seemed like, okay, he's sort of out of place. People say, oh, he's fast, he's athletic, he can cover linebackers. He got injured a bunch basically playing that role. And I forget who brought it up to me on Twitter, but there were a couple people who tweeted this at me when I made that gif of him basically forcing Kirk Cousins to his left, throwing, you know, off balance to where DRC picked it off for the game winner, where he was the one who created the pressure. And he did it with his hand in the dirt, coming off the edge. He also, I believe the sack was credited to Leon Hall, but he created a fair amount of pressure standing up in the middle of the defensive line on a blitz earlier in the game. Now, this was brought up by a few followers. I don't know who they are, so I'm sorry, but listen, tell me. I'll give you a shout-out on Twitter. He's basically started to take up the Matthias Kiwanuka role in Spagnuolo's defense. and doing it better than Kiwanuka ever did. And to me, that, I mean, it's just so valuable that you know that you have this guy who you can use in pass rushing situations.
He is sort of becoming what they had hoped Leonard Floyd would be in their defense.
Right, that's actually a great comparison.
So, yeah, he's healthy. That's the most important thing. He's able to play a full 16-game season without getting hurt. That was very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so those are my notes and my thoughts, just kind of off the cuff, on the Redskins game. Don't want to really get into too much more of it unless you had any further points to make or wanted to kind of play off something that I had said.
Not at all. I mean, it was everything you could ask for from a team that really had nothing to play for.
Right, no, and that's something you touched on. I didn't touch on. And basically, and it's good because if you think about it, the Packers played a playoff game against Detroit, divisional game, fighting for home field advantage. Or was it home field advantage or just having the first round game at home?
Just having the first round game at home. Right. They're going to be the number 3 seed.
Sure. Or 4 seed. Yeah, so I'd be still fighting for a home game in the playoffs. So, you know, they went in with that mentality, like, win, 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 we got to win this game. If the Giants had decided to rest all their starters, kind of just give the game away to the Redskins, the Packers kind of come into this game with a little momentum, with a little more intensity. But it's good to see that Spagnuolo stuck to his guns. He played most of his starters, and even those that didn't play still got a fair amount of snaps, and the Giants fought hard in what was basically a playoff game because the Redskins needed to win to get into the playoffs. Without further...
Everything was on the line for the Redskins.
Everything.
Everything.
Especially for Kirk Cousins, as we previously discussed. All right. We got to talk about it. What do you mean? Giants wide receivers partying down in Miami after the game with Trey Songz, Justin Bieber. A lot to really dissect here. From serious angles to more sarcastic and facetious angles. I'll let you start because I feel like when these sort of things happen in the media, especially regarding the Giants players, you get very, I'm not going to say angry, you get very passionate about how dumb some of the narratives become. So right. I will let you start before chiming in. Maybe you take the more serious angle and I'll chip in and start making it a little more lighthearted.
Right off the bat, something about me is the reason I get passionate is because I'm a player's guy. I think the NFL really doesn't treat their players.
You're the player's podcaster. I like exactly. The alliteration there.
In terms of like owners versus players, like it's so unfair how the players get treated in this league compared to other leagues. But that's another debate. And I don't want to say every owner. There's a lot of good owners in the league, and there's some players who are just assholes that I can't stick up for. But anyway, that's another debate for another day. In terms of this, look, guys, the Giants played a football game on Sunday. They won. They got back on the train, a 3-hour train ride back to New Jersey, got off. From that moment on until Tuesday, they're off. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard hopped on a private jet and went to Miami and enjoyed a day off where they didn't break the law. They didn't embarrass the organization. They didn't do anything that was detrimental to the team. And they enjoyed themselves like anyone else who's blessed to be in this position would do. They got away before they, in their mind, get ready to make a run at a Super Bowl. And for some reason, people on social media, on television, think that their lives are so perfect and their lives are so great and they know so much about how to be a professional athlete or someone in a fame role where they can comment or they can try to dissect or they can try to criticize how someone else lives their life. And I think that it's very wrong for people to think like that. And I think a lot of these people are actually only doing it because the people that actually did this were people that they don't like. A la Cowboy fans, who I've seen a lot try to compare this to what Tony Romo and Jason Witten did in 2007. Whether you like it or not, there's a big difference between a quarterback leaving the country during a bye week of the playoffs versus three wide receivers hopping in a private jet and going to Miami for one day. There's a big difference between it. Whether you like it or not, that's just the way it is. Now, more on the joking matter for me, I thought that picture they took was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, me too. Like
Timberlands.
Yes! In Florida. Yes!
I love that.
That picture is going to go down. Iconic. Absolutely iconic.
Could you imagine if they win the Super Bowl, that picture? Could you just imagine?
If they win the Super Bowl, I'm getting that picture tattooed on my chest.
Hey, you guys heard, we got that on air, right? We got that one on air, but... Uh-oh. Listen, in all seriousness, man, it's ridiculous. I listened to Bill Polian today, who is a Hall of Famer, who was a... His background is his background. You guys can go look up who Bill Polian is if you don't know who he is. And he called it ridiculous. He called it asinine. He called it stupid that these guys were getting criticized for it. Jerome Bettis, another Hall of Famer, another Super Bowl champion, said he did this all the time, and many players do. Some players, they get away on their day off. They hop on a plane. They might go visit family for the day and come back. Or they might, go to an area where they can just relax. I don't see why people have anything against it unless you're a fan of a team who is rivals, who is trying to create something out of nothing. And I'm happy that a lot of the players played it off with jokes, especially Eli Manning. And it's just stupid. And it's just dumb. Like, who am I to tell a professional football player how to live their life? Like, that, for me, I can't do that. And a lot of people on social media shouldn't be doing that, too. And a lot of people on TV shouldn't be doing it as well. So.
Yep. And also, shout out to Eli Manning, who handled the questions today in a manner that only Eli can handle. I don't have the exact line in front of me, but he was, they wouldn't let me in the picture with my shirt off. Or he didn't get invited. Or he was concerned about their lack of beach attire. I am never going on a boat again unless I'm wearing Timberlands and jeans. That is an Ethan guarantee. But yes. like you said, I don't care. No one else should care. It wouldn't shock me if they get drug tested because Trey Songz was holding a blunt. But, and this is why I'm not worried about any of them doing drugs, the OG, Victor Cruz, was there. Papa Cruz supervising the Young Bucks on that boat. I'm not worried. 0% chance any of them did any drugs. 100% chance that Odell just started the fashion trend of 2017, which is Tim's on a boat.
And you brought up the drug things. There was a little video that I saw. I think it was a Snapchat video.
Was it Shepard?
Yeah, in the background. Yes. There were someone, I guess someone asked him or someone offered Shepard Adderall, and he said, I can't take that, I have to play.
Yeah.
So, right there, I mean, you see, obviously you're going to be around things, but they played it smart, and, you trust these guys because, even though we're not in the locker room, just the stuff you hear about them is they're high-character guys, and if something bad had happened on that boat, we would have heard it by now.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. For me, it's not a big deal.
No, that's basically it. It was the Tim's on Odell was 100% what stood out to me. Obviously,
that was amazing. I thought of you when I saw that.
I know. That was. I mean, I saw that, and I don't know. I died. That was just unbelievable. I'm Tim Gang, Tim Mafia. I got the lucky pair. I'll be wearing all through the playoff run. It's just an iconic picture. Yeah, like you said, if they win the Super Bowl, like that picture, it should be in the Hall of Fame. That picture should be in the Hall of Fame.
It should.
All right, I think that's all we got on the Miami Justin Bieber nonsense.
Actually, I have a problem with them hanging out with Justin Bieber.
Okay.
That's my only problem. Why couldn't it be somebody else? I don't mind Trey Songz.
They could do better than Trey Songz, though.
Yeah, but Trey Songz seems like a cool guy to kick it with. I bet he's the guy that sent them the plane.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Let's see. All right, what do we want to do after the Miami thing? We want to talk Green Bay?
After we talk about the hot weather, we got to go to the cold, right?
We're going from 305 to Green Bay. All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the matchup. Aaron Rodgers, Eli, going into Lambeau. There's a lot to kind of talk about here. So I'm just going to lay out my basic strategy. We'll go back and forth, obviously. Here's where I think the Giants need to really focus. Green Bay's secondary, obviously, very banged up. To me, that doesn't matter. We saw them play banged up secondaries earlier in the season. They were unable to capitalize because teams will just use the cover two defense against them. Now, earlier, when we were talking about the Redskins game, you brought up the play to Tavares King, which was single high coverage. You know why? Because they had to respect the run. And that means feed Paul, teleport Perkins. Feed him. I love that he had 21 carries. I love that he had 102 yards, even more than that. What I don't love is Rashad Jennings still getting 18. Paul Perkins needs to be getting at least 25 carries in this Green Bay game. Let them, if they're going to play cover two and take that safety out of the box, you run all day. I wrote about this in the Big Blue Hangover. What does this line not do well? Pass protect. What are they decent to good at? Run blocking. If they're playing cover two, run it down their throats. You have a team that up until the last, I guess, week 16, I guess maybe they still are, 30th ranked in time of possession. What did they do against the Eagles, and what did they do against the Redskins this weekend? They dominated time of possession because they established the run game. You do that, force them to respect the run game and bring the safety into the box, and then when you have single high safety coverage on your 11 personnel set, where you have Odell and Shepard out there, that's when you exploit the weak secondary. To me, and we talked about this sort of pre-show, and we'll get to it when we talk about the defensive side of the ball, this is truly a win-in-the-trench matchup because you need Paul Perkins to get you that yardage. You got to make them respect the run game, and that's when you exploit their weak secondary. That's where I'm going to start. I'm going to hand it off to you.
Yeah, you nailed it. Right off the bat, I mean, both teams coming in red hot. Packers 6 in a row. Giants have, you know, I think they've won, what, 8 of 10 or 9 of 11.
Yeah, 6 in a row, so that's, you know, still impressive.
They're both teams are coming in hot. Packers defense led by Aaron Rodgers, who I think should win MVP against, you know, the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion. I think I'll go ahead and say that.
Yep.
A couple of points right off the bat. To me, it all comes down to the line of scrimmage. If you look at that Week 5 game, the Giants defense played well, but they weren't able to get any pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and he made enough plays. I'm not going to say he made a lot of plays. He made enough plays to win the game. On the other side, the Packers, who were banged up in the secondary in that game as well, and that was the game where I kind of said, okay, if they're ever going to break out, this is going to be the game with that banged up secondary. They didn't do it. They struggled a lot, mainly because they weren't able to pass protect well enough for Eli Manning. Running the football. They got to continue to run the football, and I think they will continue to run the football because I know that's how they can control the time of possession. And they've had success with it the last, you know, couple of games. They've rushed for over 100 yards as a team. The past three games, they had 90 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. So they're going to continue to run the football, and they should. Continue to feed Paul Perkins. I'm going to disagree with a little bit. I don't think he should get 18 carries. I don't think they're going to run that much where he's going to get 18 carries. But there are spots where Rashad Jennings can help a little bit. But I think this is going to be one of those games where I think that whoever controls the line of scrimmage, whoever is able to make enough plays, will win this game. With Aaron Rodgers, I think going into more in-depth, you have to keep him in the pocket. You can't let him extend plays. I know he's been a phenomenal, but the receiving core is still a little shady to me. And the reason I'll tell you that is because I know Jordy Nelson has been doing a lot of good things and Davante Adams is coming on. But with our secondary, I think we can do enough to take those, you know, one of those guys out and really make this the field smaller for Aaron Rodgers in terms of not giving him a lot of space to make plays. Running the football, I'm not a believer in this whole Ty Montgomery experiment thing. I know some people like it, but to me, I just don't see how the Giants' run defense has shut down the likes of Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, the combination of Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, and, you know, last week with Robert Kelly and the Redskins' rushing attack, that they'll go into this game and kind of be exploited. I think they'll be able to shut the run game down, make Aaron Rodgers throw the ball. The weather is going to be cold, but it's going to be sunny, so we don't have to worry about any wind or any snow or anything like that. It's just going to be a really, really cold game. But it's going to be very important for the Giants to be able to, number one, protect the football. They cannot force turnovers. They cannot give Aaron Rodgers extra possessions. They're going to have to commit to the run and stay to the run, even when at times it might not work, and even when at times it might, you know, you may seem like you're being too committed. You have to stick to the running game, and they're going to have to look for, they're going to have to be creative in terms of getting the ball downfield. Tavares King, I would like to see a little bit more of him. I think he's a deep threat. He can get down the field fast. He's a fast guy. Try to get him the ball, and just, you know, protect Eli Manning. I think it's going to be very important for them to do that. And if they're able to do that and play defense the way they've been playing, I like their chances going into Green Bay and pulling this one out.
Let me give another reason for optimism. You look back, you know, it took the Giants, you know, Giants defense was always good, but it took them a while to, you know, get to the level that they're currently at. I look back to week 5 when the Giants lost to the Packers by only 7 points. They lost by only 7 points, and according to Pro Football Focus, it was Eli Manning's second worst game all season. He's not going to have a bad performance like that, at least I don't believe so. You look at the time of possession battle for the Week 5 matchup. The Giants lost by 7 points, with the Packers having 13 more minutes in terms of time of possession. Folks, this defense can get it done. We talk about winning in the trenches. I think Ty Montgomery is a talented player, but there is no reason I should be afraid of him after shutting down Ezekiel Elliott, after shutting down, you mentioned, Rob Kelly. You know, there's no reason that this run defense shouldn't shut down Ty Montgomery. What that does is it makes the Packers one-dimensional and makes them win through the air. We mentioned before, the Giants have 3 shutdown cornerbacks. Awesome. What does concern me is the pass rush, because not only do the Packers have the number one ranked offensive lineman, they have 3 of them, I forget, I think it's TJ Lang, I'm honestly drawing blanks on all the names, but they have 3 offensive linemen that rank number one by Pro Football Focus at their respective position on the offensive line, and Aaron Rodgers is a goddamn magician. It's not just getting to him, it's containing him, because like you mentioned before, if he can extend plays, I don't care if you're Janoris Jenkins, Patrick Peterson, and you're up against the worst wide receiver in the NFL. If the quarterback's got time, people are going to get open. So not only does it come down to pressuring Rodgers, but containing him so that he can't escape and make a big play. I got one thing that's sort of like a little pessimistic in terms of the Giants' outlook. This is per NFL research. Aaron Rodgers' numbers with Jared Cook: 25-1 touchdown interception ratio, 114 quarterback rating. Without Jared Cook, 15-6 touchdown to interception ratio, 92.3 quarterback rating. So Aaron Rodgers will have Jared Cook, and as you all know, the Giants, seemingly forever, have been unable to cover tight ends. So that has to worry Giants fans a little bit, but it's one player. So, you know, you mentioned winning in the trenches. It's on both sides of the ball. It's you got to get the ball to Paul Perkins, get the running game going, and then at the same time, it's making the Packers one-dimensional on their offense and shutting down Ty Montgomery and then also containing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers have the 31st ranked defense in terms of giving up passing yards. I mean, they cannot cover the pass. So if the Giants are able to protect Eli Manning enough where he's able to make one or two throws, that might be the difference for this team. You know, saying that, I mean, the 32nd ranked pass defense is New Orleans, and although the Giants moved the ball on New Orleans, they weren't able to score points. So, you know, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to win in the trenches. That's what I've been telling people all, you know, the last couple of days is if they can pass protect for Eli Manning, I think he's going to have to make enough. He's going to be able to make some plays and got to protect the football, because the last thing you want to do is give Aaron Rodgers a short field or give him extra possessions to beat you, because most likely he will. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great game. A part of me believes that the winner of this game is going to go to the Super Bowl. That's just a part of me that believes that. I think it should be a dandy, and I can't wait. Even take me out of being one of the fans of these two teams. If you look at the games this weekend, this is the game everyone's going to be watching. This is the game that, you know, a lot of people believe that we could be watching one of the contestants that are going to be in the Super Bowl playing. So it's going to be a good one.
One more thing. As I'm scrolling through my timeline, Aaron Rodgers' worst game of the year was against the Giants in Week 5. 51.1% completion percentage, 5.8 yard per attempt average, 2 interceptions, and a 65 passer rating. So there's no doubt this defense can get it done. I think it's really going to come down to whether the offense can pick up the pace and score enough points to win.
And I love the creativity from Steve Spagnuolo against Kirk Cousins last week. I know Aaron Rodgers is not Kirk Cousins, but the Redskins' offensive line was confused on a lot of plays in that game last week. And if they're able to disguise more and more blitzes and throw different things at Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But hopefully they put together a good game plan and able to make some plays.
Absolutely. All right.
But one more thing.
Yeah.
If the Giants are going to win this game, they're going to need to score more than 20 points.
Yep.
They're going to need to score more than 20 points. It's as simple as that.
Not going to find me disagreeing there. We got anything else on this game, or do we want to hop right into some questions?
Hop right into some questions.
All right, Victoria, hello, dear. On a scale of 1 to 10, how angry will you be if Paul Perkins doesn't get the start? How bad is the Packers' secondary, and can we put up 20 points? Wow. Literally everything we just spoke about. How about that? I'll be a 10. Paul Perkins is going to get the start because he got the start last week, and he's out-carried Jennings for 2 weeks in a row. So I'd be shocked if he doesn't get the start. I'd be appalled if he doesn't out-carry Jennings. Pack secondary is bad. I think you just said they were 31st in the league. Putting up 20 points, I'm less than optimistic, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't have the answers on that one.
More or less 20 points. They'll have to score more than 20 points to win this game. Well, I'd be angry if Perkins doesn't get the start. When you say start, does that mean he's out there on the first play with the first team offense, or by halftime he didn't necessarily play the first play of the game, but he's been on the field longer?
Yeah, that's where it gets kind of fuzzy. To me, as long as he significantly out carries Jennings, I'll be happy.
Yeah, me too. But I think that's where we're headed. I mean, you see the build up the last couple of weeks. I mean, I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Perkins on Sunday. He just brings a different element that Rashad Jennings unfortunately can't bring.
Yep. From Hank, how much ass did the Giants wide receivers get after hanging out with Odell, Beebs, and Trey Songz this weekend? I'm going to guess a lot. People were like making fun of the Giants for being, you know, gay or whatever. Not that it's a big deal if they are, but there were plenty of girls behind them in the picture. I don't know if people saw. Don't you worry, they didn't have any trouble.
They got more than me.
Ditto. from Win Wang, you think the Giants are going to try to stick with the run game or pass the ball more against the Green Bay's defense? I don't know. I spoke about it before. It's got to be a combination of both. Once you make them respect the run, that's when you can really beat that secondary.
Yeah, I think they'll stick to the run game. They will.
McAdoo, for as young as he is, he's a very old school coach. You can liken him to Coughlin a bit. Even if the run game isn't working, he's not going to abandon it.
Yeah, because a lot of times, even if the run game is not working, he wants to be able to give his defense a longer break.
Yeah.
You know, so he wants to win that time of possession battle. So sure. I think that's going to be very important for him going into this game. I think they're going to have to keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. But at the same time, look for those one or two plays down the field.
Yeah, for sure.
In terms of throwing the ball.
Jason 096, is Odell going to return punts in the playoffs? I have no idea. I've said it all along. I think he should be the guy. But it'll probably be Dwayne Harris, who is tough as nails, by the way. That dude just banged up every single game and just pops right back up. So props to him.
Yeah, can I say one thing about Dwayne Harris?
Yep.
Every time he gets tackled, it reminds me of how Larry Donnell gets tackled.
Oh, God. That's oh, come so on. Awful. Don't do that to Dwayne.
No, I'm not saying he's that, but he just every time he gets tackled, it's like it feels like his arm or his leg is going to fall off or flip off because it's just so awkward the way he gets tackled.
Yeah.
It's almost like he gets thrown out of a plane or something. Go back and watch the way he gets tackled. It's really, really weird. I don't know if Odell will return punts, but I'll tell you guys a story. I was talking to a good friend of mine who's a Steelers fan, and I asked him how he felt about it, how the fan base feels about Antonio Brown returning punts. And he says they do not like it. They
really?
Don't feel it. Yeah, they well, coming from him, I don't know how the majority of Steelers fans would think, but he says a lot of the people he talks to that are Steelers fans say they don't like it. They hold their breath every time. So they might be working in Pittsburgh, but that doesn't mean a lot of people over there are liking it.
Fair enough. This one is from Nick Becht. Unstoppable force meets an immovable object. In my opinion, Rodgers has to be contained in the pocket. Vernon can't do it alone. Who along the D-line steps up? You know, it's going to be guys like Romeo Okwara and Devin Kennard. We saw Devin Kennard coming off the edge. We saw him with his hand in the dirt, with his hand not in the dirt, coming through the middle. I'm not worried about the Giants' pass rush, honestly. And also, Damon Harrison's sack on Kirk Cousins was terrifying. The fact that this guy, and he's not known for being a pass rusher, he's known for his run stopping, can just bust through the interior of a line like that and literally devour Kirk Cousins, got to give you a little bit of confidence.
That was a tone setter.
It was.
By the way, speaking of that play, I was driving somewhere on Sunday right before kickoff. I was going to my destination, and I was listening to Redskins radio, and oh my God, it's so awful. They got Sonny Jurgensen. Now, if you guys don't know Sonny Jurgensen, he's like 150 years old.
Oh God.
And this guy is just awful. I mean, listening to them, it's like three drunk fans talking. No, I'm serious. It was awful. I mean, it was abysmal. And the way they called that Damon Harrison sack was just, it was so bad. Because one of the guys, Sonny Jurgensen, was saying, well, why don't they throw the ball deep? And the other guy was saying, well, he just got sacked. And Sonny Jurgensen is like, oh, okay. And it's like they're just having a conversation. It was so bad. But as far as that sack, that was a tone-setting sack. And how about that play he made where he knocked that ball down from the running back?
That was unbelievable. He's 350 pounds. He's covering a running back in the flat.
That was pretty damn amazing.
Unbelievable. That's one of the plays where, you know, like a casual fan just kind of is like, okay, whatever. Like, I was freaking out when that happened. I was, like, screaming at the TV. I couldn't believe it.
350 pounds. Two plays. That play and the second play was the play that Landon Collins jumped over Chris Thompson at the sack.
If he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, it's a travesty.
Yeah, I don't. For some reason, I have a feeling that they're not going to give it to him.
Yeah,
just because they're in love with pass rushers.
I mean, his stats are unbelievable.
And the fact that Damon Harrison is not in the Pro Bowl is also another huge, huge, huge snub.
Does SPI? Who steps up as the third wide receiver in the playoffs, Cruz King or Lewis Jr.? Because SPI feels that Cruz is done. I don't know. I think we'll see a mix of all three. I think that they just trust Cruz.
Yep.
I got nothing else for you. I mean, King got in on that one play, but that was after they had taken out Odell. Lewis, you know, he's been in and out. They've used him sometimes. I'm a fan of both King and Lewis Jr. Been saying it since training camp. So, you know, if it's either of them, I'll be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to change a whole lot up going into the playoffs. You're not going to see stuff that you haven't already seen. I think it's going to be Victor Cruz. I think you might see a little sprinkling of Lewis and King. I will say I don't know if both King and Lewis will be active for Sunday's game. We'll see, but yeah, it's going to be Victor Cruz.
Ben Porco, shout out to Big Pork. Should the Giants' game plan on offense be pound the rock against or attack Green Bay's weak and banged up secondary or a combo of both? Pretty much answered that one already, but shout out to Ben. Let's go to Garrett. And this is an interesting question because there's like sort of a backstory behind it. At least I have one. Is this defense better than the ones in 2007 or 2011? Now, you listen to Pardon My Take, the podcast?
Sometimes. I'm not an avid listener.
Okay. I listen to every episode. Today, you should give it a listen. They had Lawrence Tynes on. And at the end of, you know, their interviews with whoever guest they have on, they do this segment where they have that person call the most famous person in their cell phone. Now, Lawrence Tynes tried two people. One was a country star. I honestly forget who the first one was. Neither of them picked up. His third attempt was Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck picked up. They asked him, is this defense as good or better as the 2007 or 2011 defenses? And you know what his answer was?
Yes.
His answer was, I don't know. Did they win the Super Bowl? I like that answer. I think this defense is better, but let's see how far they can take this team.
First of all, I hate when I see this on TV. I like this question because finally someone brought it up. 2011's defense was not
no.
good.
Can we put this rumor to bed? Eli was the one who carried the Giants team in 2011. 2007, yes. You can argue that the defense carried that team. In 2011, it was all Eli.
Yeah, you know what the 2011 defense was like? It was like this year's offense, where this is how it works. That defense was, okay, they had an aging Justin Tuck, who was going through injuries all year, finally got healthy, and, you know, he was... made an impact in the playoffs. They had a really, really bad secondary. They had Antro Roll, who was good for the most part. They had a weak linebacking core. They called Chase Blackburn off the street. But anyways, why I related to that is they were really, really heavily reliant on Jason Pierre-Paul and him garnering attention because it opened it up for other guys on the defensive line, and that's why they were able to get sacks. They were always hoping that Jason Pierre-Paul would give them that 1-2 big plays where it could get the pass rush going. This offense, what does it do? It relies heavily on Odell Beckham to give them that one or two plays that propels them to make more plays. So that's what similarity is. But anyways, 2011, it is way better than 2011. It's not even in the same class.
Not even close.
That defense was not even close. Just people have to stop. I know they played well in the Super Bowl, but just stop that comparison. 2011 was not a good defense.
Can I just add on to your thing? Because everyone is fucking idiot Cowboy fans. Constantly argue, oh, it was the defense carried Eli in 2011. And I have this thread that I posted in 2015, July 2015, on Twitter. And I refer back to it whenever some idiot makes that argument. In 2011, Eli led a top 10 offense. Despite having the worst running game in yards per carry and total yards and a bad offensive line, his defense was ranked 25th in points and 27th in yards. He led 7 fourth quarter comebacks, 8 game-winning drives, and 2 more of each in the playoffs. And he set... fourth quarter record with 15 touchdowns. That's the Eli that showed up in 2011. Get this ridiculous narrative that the defense carried Eli in 2011 out of here.
Yeah, it's not even. They played well in the Atlanta game and the Super Bowl. They had a good Super Bowl, but Eli controlled that Green Bay game up and down the field. He put up 37 points.
Yeah.
You know, San Francisco was just a hard-nosed football game, and, you know, you can give the credit to the defense, but Eli Manning also threw for 300 yards in that game. So, anyways, as far as 2007 versus 2016, I debate this almost all the time with myself. Pass rush, obviously the edge goes to 2007. Michael Strahan and Yeller Justin Tuck. You know, that pass rush was just amazing. Other than that, the linebackers this year have played okay. In 2007, outside of Antonio Pierce, they had Reggie Trowbore and Kavika Mitchell. So I give them a little bit of an edge because they both that linebacking core was a little better. But the secondary is not even close.
No.
I mean, the gap between 2011 secondary and 2016 secondary is way bigger than any other of those two positions where linebacker and cornerback. I mean, it's a huge difference.
For sure.
They have two potential All Pros in Landon Collins and Janoris Jenkins. They have a top 10 pick in Eli Apple, who's played really well. They have Dominique Wadrous-Cromartie, who is arguably a top 10 corner in this league. And so it's really not even close if you're going to compare Aaron Ross, Cord Webster, Jabril Wilson, and James Butler to these four. It's not even close. But it will come down to the Super Bowl. I think if they can help propel this team to the Super Bowl, I think it'll be hard to say it's not better than those two. But
yeah,
no, we'll see. We'll see.
We will see indeed. All right, that's all we got. That's all the questions I got. You haven't got any parting words before we sign off?
We can both make our predictions, but I think at this point we're going to be really, really big homers here.
Yeah, I mean, we're both going to predict them to win. I just think it's a matter of, you know,
well, how about this? Score. Since I picked them to lose last week,
okay.
Why don't you tell us why they will win?
Why they will win this week?
Yeah.
They're gonna shut down the Packers' offense. This defense is going to show up prepared. They're going to get after Rodgers. They're going to make his life miserable. My final score is 20-17, Giants victory.
And I'll tell you why they won't win. So I'll be pessimistic again. They're just running to a team that's a little bit higher than them. And you just can't trust their offensive line. And Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers is just too hot right now. They'll make enough plays to win just like they did in Week 5. And they'll be able to win the game. Other than that, you know, it's going to be a great game. It is, as a football fan, I just can't wait to watch this game. It is going to be a great game, and I honestly believe that we could be watching the NFC Championship game on Sunday at 4:30.
Yeah.
Because these two teams, you can make the case, are the best team in the NFC right now.
And honestly, thank God that at least the NFC produced some competitive teams and exciting games to watch, because you literally could not get me excited in the slightest to watch any of these AFC games. I mean, who's going to give the Patriots a run? No one. Don't get out of here with the Chiefs. Patriots are going to walk to the Super Bowl.
Whoa. You're not giving Pittsburgh enough credit. Pittsburgh has the firepower.
No.
I'm not a believer in the Chiefs. I think they're a great regular season team, but when they get into the playoffs, they usually don't get further than the divisional round. But I am a believer that Pittsburgh can give New England a run for its money. As far as the wild card games go, I'm a little intrigued by the Miami-Pittsburgh game just because I like what Adam Gase is doing in Miami right now, so I want to see how they play in this first playoff game. Other than that, I am not looking forward to Oakland and Houston.
That might be the worst playoff game of all time.
You know, Houston just announced the starting quarterback for the wild card game. That division is so bad. It is just like, can we take Houston out of that division? Like, can we not allow a team to ever make the playoffs in that division?
Yeah.
I mean, that division is so awful.
It's bad.
I can't bear to watch. I call that the Thursday night football division, because they just put the big games of that division on Thursday night and call it a wrap.
The Thursday night division. That's hilarious. Yeah. I like that.
This is Thursday night division. Every time there's a big game, it's on Thursday night.
Yeah.
This is the way it works.
Very true. Awesome. Yeah, that's my prediction. 2017. You want to give a score?
I'm going to say 24-20 Giants.
Okay. Interesting. I actually like that scenario way better than mine, because it'll force Rodgers to need a touchdown against us in his final drive.
It's going to be a hell of a game.
I'm excited. Hopefully next week we're talking and we're happy.
Yes, hopefully we're getting ready for another game, right?
Yeah.
That huge monumental rematch with the Cowboys.
Monumental.
Is that where we're headed?
Yeah, listen, game of the century.
That would be a huge game. Could you imagine that one?
I don't know. I don't know how I'd be able to, like, live the week leading up to it.
I couldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah, me neither. All right. NYG Weekly, episode 22, wrapping it up here. Guys, thank you for listening. If you haven't yet done it, subscribe on iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone or iTunes, subscribe on Google Play or Audio Boom. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at NYGDaily, at GothamSN. And hopefully, when we're talking to you next week, we're breaking down Giants-Cowboys.
Yeah, just one thing. Happy birthday, Eli.
Happy birthday. How could we forget? I'm honestly ashamed of myself that we didn't open up the show with a happy birthday, Eli.
I know. But they're going to like the intro, right? They're going to like that intro.
Yes, they're going to like it. I'm going to need you to send me that link in our Skype chat so that I can make sure that that's our intro this week. Because yes. The intro is electric.
How do you like me now? How do you like me now? I'm so happy we don't have to hear any more sound bites from Kirk Cousins. Thank God. What a way to go into 2017. No more Kirk Cousins sound bites.
Yeah. Well, I do enjoy going through them after a big Redskins loss.
I can't stand it. I'm so mad at all Giant fans that weren't screaming that at him after he threw that pick. That stadium was filled with Giant fans.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't yell at him.
That's the go-to. Whenever he screws up. You like that? All right. Episode 22, signing off. Peace.
Peace.